Listening to Not By Works with Dr. J.B. Hixon, advancing the message of God's amazing grace through the teaching of God's Word.
Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
And now with today's message, here is Dr. Hixon.
I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and every word of God is flawless. It's perfect, infallible. God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. When we study the Bible, it pierces our hearts and changes our lives. God's Word is the only standard for our beliefs and attitudes and behaviors. Within the pages of written Scripture, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And in this book, we find these words in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that means that faith, for those who are lost and need to be saved, comes by hearing the Word of God, and specifically the gospel that it proclaims, the good news that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. And faith for those who are already saved, to grow spiritually mature, also comes by hearing the Word of God. Hello again, everyone. My name is J.B. with Not By Works. Thank you for joining us for the program. We are in the midst of a series this week entitled Defending the Sanctity of Marriage. This is a huge issue right now with the homosexual agenda, and we're so honored to have my friend and colleague and frequent guest here on the program, Dr. Andy Woods, with us all week long to kind of break down this subject. And we've spent quite a bit of time, as we should, in the Word of God, talking about how to understand this issue from a biblical perspective and why it is correct for believers to say that the Bible condemns homosexuality as a sin and as a deviant behavior that is wrong and that is unquestioning in Scripture. And we want to get into, for the remaining 2 days in this series, into the actual homosexual agenda itself and a lot of the stuff that you're hearing on the evening news about the whole civil rights issue and gay marriage. Of course, there's a big Supreme Court ruling that is about to be announced imminently at any time that will have a really an earth-shattering impact, and people on both sides of the debate are waiting to hear about that. Maybe Dr. Woods can kind of fill us in a little bit about that. But it's such an honor to have Dr. Woods. His website, for those of you that like to keep up with his ministry, is thewordonpolitics.com. The Word on politics.com. He's a pastor, an author, a professor, and also an attorney. And so we're so delighted to have you back with us again today, Dr. Woods. So tell us a little bit about kind of the political aspect of all of this and how we as Christians, what we need to know and what we should do about all of this.
Well, that's a big topic. but, you know, I think one of the things that's very important to understand is one of the key driving pieces of agenda behind the gay rights movement is to what I would call piggyback on the civil rights movement. Mm. In other words, just as blacks and Asians, Hispanics, rightfully, I might add, received special protection under the law called elevated civil rights status, which protects them from discrimination based on an immutable characteristic about themselves, like their nationality, their ethnicity, their ethnic origin, their skin color. The gay rights movement has been working overtime to try to get that same status. In fact, here is a quote, the following article entitled Overhauling Straight America was written by Marshall K. Kirk and Erastus Pill and appeared in Guide Magazine, a homosexual publication, in 1987. This landmark article has become a Bible of the homosexual movement and has since been widely republished on the Internet and elsewhere. It outlines strategies and techniques for a successful widespread propaganda campaign to confuse and deceive the American people and to deceive or demonize opponents. Like all propaganda, their methods are not based on solid intellectual arguments, but instead on emotional manipulation of the public in an attempt to gain widespread sympathy and approval for homosexual behavior. Now, here's the quote. It's entitled "Portray Gays as Victims, Not as Aggressive Challengers." And here's the quote from the article. It says, "In any campaign to win over the public, gays must be cast as victims in need of protection, so that straights will be inclined by reflex to assume the role of protector. If gays are presented instead as strong and prideful, promoting a rigidly nonconformist and deviant lifestyle, they are most likely to be seen by the public as a menace that justifies resistance and oppression. For that reason, we must forego the temptation to strut our gay pride publicly when in conflicts with a gay victim image. And we must talk about the fine line between impressing straights with our great numbers on the one hand and sparking their hostile paranoia. They are all around us on the other." So they sort of lay out here, all the way back in 1987, this strategy that we've got to portray ourselves as victims, you know, very similar to what we rightfully did in the Civil Rights Act of 1964, because blacks in America obviously were victimized by slavery, you know, by the Jim Crow South, by sitting at segregated lunch counters. Well, the gays are saying that same thing is happening to us. So give us the same elevated civil rights status. And let me tell you, once they have that, you've just handed over to them a club, a club to beat any organization, church, Boy Scouts, whatever organization you want to talk about, into submission for questioning the gay rights lifestyle. And so it's a troubling thing watching develop.
Yeah, so, you know, talking about this civil rights criteria, I know you're going to get into some of this, but from a legal perspective, for a group to be able to claim certain civil rights, violations, they have to meet a certain criteria. And one of those is they have to be numerous. Now this brings up a famous myth, the whole Kinsey Report from the 1960s. Talk to us a little bit about the facts as they really exist in terms of the pervasiveness of the homosexual community.
Right. Well, one of the characteristics, as you mentioned, is you have to prove you're numerous. And for a very long time, the homosexual movement has trumpeted this 10% figure. 10% of the population is gay. And that statistic comes from the gentleman that put this study together named Alfred Kinsey. And that study has been widely discredited. What he used as his sample set were bars, gay bars, and prison inmates, and areas where the gay population is disproportionately high. Subsequent studies that have been done after that have discovered, you know, using honest statistical analysis, that the number is far less. It could be as low as 1 to 2%. But you see, it's one of those things where I think it was the psychologist William James who said, if you repeat a lie long enough, people will eventually believe it. Mm-hmm. And so whether the Kinsey study is an authentic study or not has now become irrelevant. This 10% number is ingrained into the American psyche just because it's been trumpeted over and over and over again. And very few people will actually take the time, you know, to go back and analyze a study like that to see if it was done correctly. So the gay rights movement has already won that battle because it's a battle of propaganda. It's not a battle of fact.
But the reality is, if they can convince generations of young people that, you know, it is pervasive and that it is normal and that it is common, then it's going to have somewhat of an effect of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I think what we as believers, and especially as leaders, need to be shouting from the rooftops to not just young people, but to all Christians, is that homosexuality is not common, it's not pervasive, it's not normal, it's not healthy, it's not natural, and it's not okay. And, you know, I can remember as a kid going to some type of a youth event, and typically, in typical fashion for me, I was always bad about bringing home notes and things and instructions and pamphlets to my parents. And so this was one of those last minute deals where we realized there was a costume party that night, and I didn't have anything prepared. And so my mom said, "Hey, just throw on this old football uniform." Everybody knows I'm a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, so as a youngster, I had a Dallas Cowboys jersey and helmet that I would play out in the front yard. She said, "Just wear that. You can go as a Dallas Cowboys person." And so I went to this party, and it turns out there was a theme, and everybody was supposed to be dressed in like Star Wars stuff, and I was the only one in a Dallas Cowboys uniform, and I stuck out like a sore thumb. And I've never forgotten that feeling, and I think that's the way young people, you know, are going to feel if they buy into this lie of Satan that homosexuality is normative, and it's, you know, it's a pretty lonely place in reality, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's the idea of changing the attitudes. And even if they can, let's say they're in front of a classroom of kids, even if they don't convince some of those kids to become homosexuals themselves, they've still succeeded in changing the attitude of the heterosexuals towards homosexuality. Mm. And they are desperately trying to connect in the minds of people what African Americans went through in this country in terms of lynchings and, you know, violence from the KKK. And they're basically trying to say that gays have experienced that same type of rejection and discrimination and violence. And so, therefore, if you oppose homosexuality, you're no different than a bigoted Southern white KKK racist. And, yes, and essentially that's what they're trying to connect. I have to hand it to them. They've been largely successful in this propaganda war.
They really have. So yeah, you know, getting back to the criteria, so, you know, they have to be numerous. Well, the facts show that it's not numerous. What else would qualify a group for special, you know, civil rights status?
Okay, well, you have to demonstrate that you have an immutable characteristic about yourself that cannot change, like one's skin color. And I think we've already analyzed some of that by looking, first of all, at biblical passages that indicate that homosexuals can change. It's not an immutable characteristic. It's a sinful behavior or habit. We've quoted, I think, earlier, Dr. Spitzer, who, through his research and efforts, have shown that homosexuals can change with the right therapy and things of that nature. I mean, do you know any blacks that used to be black? Unless they get some kind of surgical operation done or something
yeah,
like
any
that.
Any blacks that used to be white, you mean?
Sorry, I had that wrong. Yeah, any blacks that used to be black, or, you know, a white person that used to be black, or something like that. Well, that's unheard of, but there aren't ex-blacks.
Right.
There aren't ex-Asians, but there are plenty of ex-gays.
Yeah.
So this whole idea of an immutable characteristic doesn't work. It flatly contradicts what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11.
Yeah, such were
such
some,
as
of,
some
you.
Of you were. Mm-hmm. Another characteristic is something we've already talked about. You have to demonstrate that your life is innocuous, harmless. In other words, the immutable characteristic doesn't hurt anybody. So your skin color is who you are. That doesn't hurt anybody. But as we have talked about in our prior programs together, the homosexual lifestyle is a destructive lifestyle. We talked about how homosexuals, although a rather small percentage of the total population, have a disproportionately high number of syphilis, chlamydia, and other type diseases. So the characteristic of innocuous doesn't work either. And beyond that, you have to demonstrate a fourth of these criteria, and this criterion has to do with discrimination. You have to show historically that you have been targeted for discriminatory behavior based on your immutable characteristic. And you look at the case of African Americans in America, they can clearly make that case. They can point to hardcore economic data. They can point to the Jim Crow South. They can point to segregated lunch counters. They can point to the Ku Klux Klan. They can point to the residuals of slavery. And, you know, can homosexuals demonstrate that they have been discriminated against based on this characteristic about themselves called a gay gene, supposedly? And the answer is a resounding no. In fact, let me just read a couple of sentences, if I can, from USA Today. Now, USA Today, I don't think is a member of the right-wing conspiracy. You know, it's no. pretty center-field mainstream magazine, and this is what they said. Homosexual couples who live together may be wealthier than heterosexual live-in couples. An analysis of new census numbers suggests gay male couples appear to be particularly affluent, out-earning even married couples. Gay male couples had an income of about $57,000 a year, household income. Married couples, it was as low as $47,000 a year. Heterosexual unmarried couples was as low as $37,000, $38,000 a year. So statistically, you cannot make the case that homosexuals in our culture have been discriminated against.
Yeah, that reminds me of that thing you quoted from the 1980s where they kind of tipped their hand at their agenda and their sort
right.
of their marching orders, walking that fine line. You know, USA Today on the one hand is trying to promote it because it says, hey, if you follow the gay lifestyle, you might be richer. But at the same time, it sort of hurts their cause because it shows that they're not. Discriminated against.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no hardcore pattern of discrimination against homosexuals. Even in some of these cases we've seen in the news recently about, let's say, a florist decides that she doesn't want to give flowers to, or a baker that decide they don't want to bake a cake for a gay wedding. What happens is a plethora of other businesses come alongside that gay couple and offer their services almost for free.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if so-and-so won't give you cake, we'll be happy to do that for you. So there is no pattern of discrimination against homosexuals. One of the things that is argued constantly is gays are the target of random violence. And let me read to you just a couple of sentences, if I can, from a scholar named Jim Ammon. He says, set against the so-called epidemic of hate crimes in America are the 1,400,000 total crimes committed against persons or property. This is compared to 9,000 bias-motivated crimes in that year. Hate crimes account for 0.08% of total crime problem facing America. But that's not all. Just 1,400 of the 9,000 hate crimes reported to the FBI were identified as offenses by prejudice against the victims of one's sexual orientation. Crimes against homosexuals as an identified class are just 0.012% of all crimes committed in America.
Oh, man.
And, you know, you listen to the media and you get this idea that there's this rash of violence against gays. And, of course, anybody that's targeted for violence, whether they're gay or straight, is deplorable. But the fact of the matter is there is no rampant, widespread use of violence against people solely on the basis of their homosexuality. And this is what statistics and studies say. What people do is they get caught up in the emotions of it all. But when you look at the objective data, it just isn't there.
No, it isn't. And you kind of lost me with you listen to the media and you would think, well, that's the problem. Don't listen to the media. That's the first problem right there. No, I'm just kidding. So where does the money fit into all of this? Off air, we were talking a little bit about the whole agenda and the fact that they have to recruit. They can't reproduce, so they have to recruit people, particularly young people, to kind of come into their fold. And then the statistics you just gave a moment ago from USA Today about income. So how does the money play in this? Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil. And, of course, my perspective is that a lot of this is agenda-driven at the higher levels. So how does this the political influence and the money play into it?
Well, you think about it, just as this USA Today article put it, you've got two men many times in a relationship with each other, a homosexual couple. Now, men, as we all know, for a lot of reasons, and why this is so would be beyond the scope of this interview, but men have a higher earning power than women. So you've got two men in this relationship both of them having this higher earning power. Now think about this for a minute. Homosexuals, unless they adopt, and some states don't even allow homosexuals to adopt, I think rightfully so. But if you don't have any children or you don't have any dependents, think about all the money you would save. You don't have to pay for Little League baseball. You don't have to pay for college tuition. When the children are very young, you don't have to pay for baby food or diapers. And so what you have with a homosexual couple is massive disposable income, which you and I, as heterosexual family people, we don't have that same disposable income. And so what do they do with all this extra money? It's all politics, politics, politics. That's why the gay lobby is so well funded and is so well financed. And that's why when the gay lobby speaks, the political world listens, because that's a tremendous source of revenue for campaigns. Obviously, to run for office, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, costs an exorbitant amount of money. And so, you know, if and that's why so many Republicans and Democrats, it used to be mostly Democrats, but now this gay agenda is becoming more mainstream in the Republican Party. But you'll notice that when both sides of the aisle speak about the homosexual issue, they're always promoting it, advocating it. They're not coming out against it. And it largely has to do with this revenue stream that they would suffer a loss of if they came out with a biblical position on the subject.
Yeah, it really is an issue that transcends political parties. And you know, as they say, follow the money.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll kind of see it's amazing when you really do the research how far reaching are the tentacles of this whole agenda to try to, you know, promote the homosexual lifestyle. And, you know, on tomorrow's program, as we kind of close out this series, we want to talk a little bit more about the implications of this Supreme Court ruling and kind of what that's all about. Maybe some of our listeners are not familiar with that. So we encourage you to tune in tomorrow as we kind of close out this series. And then we also want to leave our listeners with some action items, some practical advice on how can we live in this Sodom and Gomorrah-like culture, and what can we as God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians do. So thank you, Dr. Woods, for being with us. We look forward to having you back again on tomorrow's program.
All right, I look forward to it.
Well, you've been listening to Not by Works, and my name is J.B. Hickson. Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like more information about the gospel, we're passionate about the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. Give us a call at 1-800-895-1851. That number again, 1-800-895-1851. And we look forward to having you back tomorrow on the program as we continue this series and look to the Word of God to strengthen our faith and change our lives.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead.
Not by Works Ministries is committed to promoting the clear gospel message that eternal life is a free gift, available only through faith in Jesus Christ alone, who died and rose again for our sins. We seek to advance this clear message of God's amazing grace through our daily radio program and through a nationwide conference speaking ministry on a variety of biblical topics. We also have books, DVDs, CDs, and other biblical resources available through our online store at notbyworks.org. To learn more about our ministry or to schedule a Not by Works conference, please visit notbyworks.org. If you share our passion for the clarity, accuracy, and urgency of the gospel, we invite you to join us in this mission by financially supporting our ministry. For a gift of any amount, we would like to send you a copy of Dr. Hickson's book, The Gospel Unplugged, Good News Plain and Simple. You may donate online at notbyworks.org or by calling 1-800-895-1851. That's 1-800-895-1851. You may also write to us at Not by Works, P.O. Box 101, Groveland, Illinois, 61535. Thanks for listening today, and remember Titus 3:5. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us.
Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.